Soldier. The C in CP3 stands for choke. Choke P3. I told ya. 33 points. The Phoenix Suns. 64-18. Chris Paul, all-time great point guard, loses Game 7, everything on the line. CP3, Chris Paul, is 0-7 in his career in Game 7. 0-7, Game 7. Like, the only thing I wish is that I wish I was in America so I could have laughed. After the first half, it was over. Oh my goodness. Monday morning coffee. This was the wrong choice. I'm going to be insufferable.
Hello. Welcome, everyone, to FMC on a Monday. You sent me this video last night, SV3, and you're like, we should open with this. I was like, send it to my email. I'll post it. I didn't watch it. That was my first time watching it. I don't like previewing this stuff, which is probably a bad idea. I probably should preview this stuff, but I like being surprised, and I trust my friends that they're not going to send me anything that's going to get in trouble. Oh, man. It was as glorious as I thought it would be. I'd ask how you're doing, but like...
Oh, man. You have to understand. I went to sleep. Y'all know me. I'm the bias analyst here on FMC. So I wanted the Celtics to lose. So when they demolished the Bucks, made Giannis look human, the best player in the world, I went to sleep like not very happy with NBA basketball. So to wake up to the notification that the Phoenix Suns choked, and in an all-time choke. Like, this is one of the most lopsided Game 7s of all time. For me to be able to wake up and do that video, that laughing video, it's one of the best things that's happened to me in basketball quite some time. You have to realize, I'm a Lakers fan. I had to deal with this guy most of the year talking trash about my team. This was so happy to be right. I was so happy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to MMC. Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee. We are here for my official Chris Paul is a choke. The choke artist has reigned supreme. CP3 now stands for choking player 3. We need to call him CP07. Oh my goodness. This is wonderful. Well, thank you, Jeremy. This was the best idea you've ever came up with for us to do this on a Monday.
Is this Monday morning choke? Is that what that's what this stands for?
Yes! Yes! Monday morning choke! Monday morning choke! Hashtag it! Put it on Twitter! Tag us! Hashtag Monday morning choke!
Felboss says... CP 37 years old, CP 0 knees, choke P3. Take your pick. This is the most one-sided Game 7 probably ever. I think there's numbers that it was the most one-sided Game 7 in modern day history. You got to go back to like 1943 for a more lopsided 1948. Game 7. Okay, sure. JJ says, I look forward to the PowerPoint presentation. That's Friday. Friday will be the official PowerPoint presentation. So I'll get that together. That is for Friday's episode. Bam says, Monday morning just got way better with Jeremy and the great SP3. Not that choke artist, CP3. Thanks for the laughs and enjoyment. Keep up the great job. Let me issue an official statement on my point guard father, Chris Paul, choking in the playoffs. First, he had a quad injury. I'd like to get that out there. He was injured, as he always is during this time of year.
Literally, I said this on Friday. I'm waiting for this to come out because that's going to be the excuse. I know it. This is why he never gets the heat he needs. But continue.
Here's the thing. I have been brandished this reputation that I am a Chris Paul fan because I was dubbed the point guard by Joseph. And the Chris Paul OKC season was fantastic. It completely changed his reputation for me. He, of course, lost in a game 7 that year as well. So did kind of choke that game away, which is unfortunate. But before Chris Paul came to OKC, one of the biggest Chris Paul haters in the world. Absolutely one of the biggest Chris Paul haters in the world. You can, my buddy Sammer, you can ask him. We used to slander him. We actually created a burner account where we were fake Chris Paul fans because we were like, who is the one player we can like, who we just can't stand, who to for the bit we can like prop up and boost and everything. It's like, oh, Chris Paul. So I was never a big Chris Paul fan until he came to OKC. Turned his reputation around. I don't hate all of this slander. I've never been a Devin Booker fan. I don't think that I've never been a Devin Booker fan. He's always killed kind of OKC, even when he was like on the bad Suns team. He's always talked like a lot of shit, never really like backed it up until the past two seasons when he had Chris Paul. Hey, the famous video that is coming back out now where he's complaining about being doubled in the open gym. Like, Devin Booker is just kind of a bitch, right? He's just kind of a little bitch. So I don't mind that the Suns got blown out. It's kind of funny to me. I like Luka. Luka, after game 5, when they were down 3-2, and he's like, everybody talks tough when they're up. You know, after Devin Booker's like, oh, Luka special and this stuff, him just coming in there and like, I'm gonna just destroy these dudes and there's nothing they can do about it. I absolutely love that. Like, Luka is on a different level. I am mostly upset that these games sucked. SP3, these games were just terrible. Like, that's what I'm mainly upset. I'm ready for Game 7. I had a great Saturday Game 7 with the hockey. The hockey Game 7s were fantastic on Saturday. I'm ready for Game 7 Sunday with 2 NHL games, 2 NBA games. And then the basketball game, the first half in Bucks-Celtics was, like, good, but it swung wildly at the end of the half with that shitty call on Giannis, on Marcus Smart. The referees influencing things at the end of the first half. It was like, oh, this isn't going well. And then Boston just came out hitting threes in the second half. It's like, well, Milwaukee doesn't have the firepower to get back into this one. And it was over. And then the Mavericks and the Suns game, I mean, I was telling you off air, like, I was watching Penguins Rangers because that was an actual good game 7, and I was like, oh, I'll kind of like check highlights of Mavericks Suns as it's going, and when it gets close or when it gets like second half, I'll tune in. Well, no reason to tune in. It was over in the second quarter. It was over. Luka just completely, when he hit the step back on Ayton, and then one of the fans, I guess, is yelling at him, and Luka's just like, shut the fuck up. Like, who's this guy? Like, Luka is doing that whole thing. I was like, dude, you guys pissed off the wrong dude. Like, bless Luka Doncic. He is not afraid of anything. He thinks he's the best player in the world. He might not be wrong. I'll still take Giannis, but like, I ain't betting against Luka. Like, he just does not care. The pettiness, him destroying Ayton and the Suns, who was taken before him in the draft, which is a pretty big mistake. Now we all see, like, I absolutely love it from Luka. I'm mad we didn't get a good game. I ain't too mad at the Suns being slandered and Devin Booker being slandered. And I don't feel that horrible for Chris Paul, because I do think people think I'm a bigger Chris Paul fan than I actually am because of this nickname. I really don't give a fuck about Chris Paul. All right. It doesn't bother me at all that he has lost these games. I don't care at all. I will slander him alongside everybody else. So,
but
that's where I'm at.
Let's be fair, ladies and gentlemen. If you follow FMC, you know that Chris Paul has as many losses in Game 7 as many times as Jeremy has muted me for Chris Paul's slander. So although he says now he's not as big of a fan as he is,
I picked Luka to win. You mute did me. Did I not pick Dallas in this Game 7?
You
did. I not pick Dallas?
We both did. Me for selfish reasons, but man, oh man, I did not expect this. I did not expect the first half for Luka to have 27 and the Suns to have 27. Do you know how hard it is in this league to have 27 points at halftime? This is a league that people get 27 points in the first 5 minutes of a first quarter sometimes. Like, that's this. Oh my God. Like, the Suns did not even get off the plane from Dallas. No, they didn't even get off the plane from the first time they went from Phoenix to Dallas, from Game 5 to Game 6. They talked all that trash. People talk about, oh, the Warriors, they be too cocky, they be celebrating too much. No, the Suns, they tried to slander Luka, that Luka special thing by Devin Booker, the trash talking. They've been trash talking ever since they beat us in the first round last year. And LeBron told them, they was like, don't do this when you front running. He was like, stay humble. And they did not listen. And they getting what they deserve. Chris Paul is getting what he deserves. I told y'all once, I told y'all again, Chris Paul is a choke artist. When it happened in with the LA Clippers, they tried to put all the blame on Doc Rivers. Oh, Doc Rivers is not a good coach. Doc Rivers is a choke artist too, don't get me wrong, but he got too much of the credit. Then when it happened in Houston, they tried to pass the buck to James Harden. Oh no, it's all James Harden. It's nothing to do with Chris Paul. Y'all lost Game 7 with OKC. It was everybody's fault for Chris Paul, because Chris Paul got y'all there. Oh yeah, it's not Chris Paul's fault. It, you know, it would have been different.
It was Billy Donovan's fault, because he played Steven Adams when he shouldn't have.
It's always someone else's fault. So that's why I took it upon myself last year, after they beat us in the playoffs, I took it upon myself to point the finger at Chris Paul, because all this choking, all these 2-0 series losses that he's had in the playoffs, all these 3-1 choking that he's done in the playoffs, I pointed the finger to Chris Paul, and I have been validated, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great day. It is a great day. May 16th, 2022. It's 2 days before my birthday. My birthday came early. My birthday came 3 days early, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh,
man. I told you. Ashok says, is it having optimism for your favorite teams about? Yes, 100%. Never be optimistic. This is what I've learned. I'm pessimistic about everything when it comes to sports. I'm absolutely pessimistic. I don't know if y'all saw my tweet, but like, the Avs potentially going to play a Game 7 in the second round the day of Double or Nothing, the night of Double or Nothing. It's 100%. They're going 7. They're going to lose Game 7. And I'm going to have to fucking transcribe Tony Khan interviews while I'm just miserable because I just watched my team lose a Game 7 again. That's how this is going to work. And I got the EP telling me, it's okay, things are going to be different this year. She's a Cleveland fan. She doesn't know anything. She's trying to be optimistic as a Cleveland fan. What are we doing? Don't be optimistic, everybody. Absolutely don't be optimistic.
It's not optimism. That's the wrong thing. It's y'all don't put enough shame on Chris Paul's name, and that's why he came back and haunted you. Y'all propped him up, and I understand why Jeremy did it. He did a lot for OKC in that 1 year, and then trading him, y'all got a whole bunch of draft picks in the. Y'all set yourself up for the future with having him. So great on y'all. But man, oh man, all these Suns fans, I felt bad for y'all, because y'all believe 60. They were the only 60-win team in one of the hardest regular seasons of all time. And they lost. They lost by a total of 60 points, Jeremy, in Game 6 and Game 7.
I really don't understand it. And look, you can place the blame on literally everybody on that team. Everybody on that team. I know Chris Paul is going to get a lot. Devin Booker is going to get a lot, and he should as well. First off, don't be talking this shit. All right? Luka Doncic, just don't be talking this shit to players who are better than you. Okay? I like Devin Booker as a player, as, you know, he's kind of shit when it comes to his complaining and whatnot. As a player, he's still very good. Chris Paul, as a player, very good. Luka's better than both of them. That was factual before this series. That was factual all regular season. It's definitely factual now. Luka's better than it. When Klay is like, oh, it's a man's league and stuff. When LeBron and Wade are making fun of Dirk and Coffin and stuff. Don't be doing this shit with elite players like this, okay? Nothing fuels NBA players more than pettiness. Absolutely nothing fuels these great players more than petty. Look at Jordan. Jordan and Kobe are the prime examples here. They didn't give a fuck. They were the pettiest motherfuckers out there, and that's why they're the greatest. Because they Jordan made up narratives to dominate in the league. All right.
So did Kobe. Kobe said that too. He made up stuff in his head, and especially these European players. Luka's been playing since he was 9 years old. Since he was 9 years old, he's been playing professionally. He was playing with like wars going on, fireworks all over the place. You think this is the guy you want to talk trash to? You front running. Oh man, Devin Booker. What we learned from Devin Booker in this series is that he's a good shooter. He's not even a great scorer anymore. I can't even call himself a great scorer because he doesn't create his own shot. He needs screens. He needs to be past the ball and he's open. He's not a shot maker. He's not the shot maker that Luka Doncic is. People were saying that it was close between these two at the beginning of the season. No, that's not true at all. It's not close at all.
No, that's 100% not true. We saw what Devin Booker did on his own.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For years, and the Suns were trash every single year. They got Chris Paul, they got DeAndre Ayton, they actually put a decent team around them, and they were very good. And they made the finals last year. They were the best team in the regular season this year. But before that, they were nothing. Luka's got this team in the conference finals. They were there last year in a game 7. The roster around Luka ain't good at all. I was texting with Samer, and I'm like, Spencer Dinwiddie is their second best player. I like Spencer Dinwiddie. He's not like a bad player or anything. But this is the worst second player on a team, on a potential finals team, like since the Dirk Mavs, right? Like I cannot think of a worse second player on a team since that Dirk team. Like the LeBron team that went to the finals after Kyrie left, Kevin Love was still a good player during those days. But Dinwiddie, get no offense to him, but he is not on the level of these other second players that you've had throughout the years and the other second players left in the playoffs right now. In a league that's driven by stars, typically you need two of them to make it to the finals. And Spencer Dinwiddie, sorry, is not a star. That's how special Luka is. That he is completely on a different level. Completely on a different level. Yes, pettiness is what you need in the NBA. Don't give these guys reasons to be petty. All right? Don't fuel this pettiness. Because it's going to come back to haunt you. These NBA players, they don't care, man. That's all they need. When they are this good and you're going to give them something extra, that's all they need. It's dumb. Don't do it. Don't do it, Devin Booker. When you haven't won anything, great. You made the finals last year. Y'all still blew a 2-0 lead. You haven't won anything. If you've won something, that's one thing. But you still probably shouldn't do it because it's stupid. But you haven't won anything. Also, I blame the Kardashians. Anybody associated with that family, just it doesn't.
Is he still with Kendall?
Because
I don't see him on the Kardashian show, and I'll be asking that. I see Travis, I see Kanye, and he's divorced from Kim. I be seeing Tristan, and he done cheated on Khloe like 800 times, but I never see Devin Booker. So he needs to get on the Kardashian show because at least all these people went crazy. They didn't choke. They didn't choke in their industries. I mean
Kanye. Yeah. He's
I mean He's still making money, ladies and gentlemen, and so is Devin Booker. But nah, man, I think that we need to give some credit to Dinwiddie, to Jalen Brunson. Both of these guys had more combined points than Chris Paul and Devin Booker last night. Both of them combined. No, both of Devin Booker and Chris Paul combined, Dinwiddie had more points than them. Jalen Brunson.
The entire starting lineup, I feel like Dinwiddie had more points than the entire starting lineup. Nobody scored in double digits on their entire starting lineup. It was sad. I've never seen anything like this. And the funny thing, I joked with my friend, we have this blowout and a blowout joke dating back to an awful the Panthers and Broncos Super Bowl. Because the day before that Super Bowl was OKC and Golden State. And so my friend joked, he's like, oh, it's going to be a blowout and a blowout. And both were close games and my team's lost. And I've hated him ever since, even though he's my best friend. So yesterday I picked the Bucks and the Mavs and I said blowout and a blowout. And I mean, it came true. My picks were not correct, but it was two blowouts. But I have never it's a joke because hopefully it means we're going to get like close games and stuff. I did not actually suspect we're going to get a blowout. And none of these games were competitive. In this series kind of sucked. Like the games were awful to watch. They weren't fun. They weren't close. It wasn't a good series, even though it went seven. I would never have suspected that, even if it wasn't like a kind of a close game or anything, Phoenix just didn't look like they were prepared for anything. I don't understand how that happens in a game seven at home when you're the best, when you were the best team in the regular season. I just don't understand how you look completely unprepared. That's on Chris Paul as the leader, as the veteran. That's also on Coach Monty Williams. And at least Monty Williams did take responsibility for that.
He did.
Like,
he didn't pull a Doc. He didn't pull
a Doc. Yeah, he did. He didn't pull a Doc Rivers.
They were the best team in the regular season. 64 wins. They have an all-time point guard. Chris Paul, the point choke, as I dubbed him weeks ago. Monty Williams, Coach of the Year, Devin Booker, who people were saying was an MVP candidate during the regular season, DeAndre Ayton, people said, oh no, they got DeAndre Ayton, that's going to be the difference maker against the Dallas Mavericks. This man had 5 points last night in 17 minutes.
I don't know what's up with DeAndre Ayton. I'm sure you saw the comments from Monty Williams where he's like, you know, it's an internal thing. He had 5 points. He played like 17 minutes. Yeah. I don't know. DeAndre Ayton was supposed to be like the thing that Dallas couldn't stop. Even Jason Kidd said it. He's like, yeah, Ayton is a guy who can like actually score and put the ball in the basket. So it's going to be tough to go smaller because he can actually punish us on the pick and roll and scoring and everything, where Gobert couldn't do that. I don't know if this is on Monty Williams for a bad game plan. I don't know if this is on Chris Paul for not getting the ball enough. I don't know if this is on DeAndre Ayton for bitching and just not and worrying about his contract too much and not being great, whatever it might be. There's something wrong with the Suns and Ayton. It's very obvious. He's a restricted free agent. They ain't giving him max money after this. You didn't play yourself into max money after this, I'll tell you that much. So I don't know what's going to happen right there. It really does feel like Phoenix these last 2 years, this was their window. Because now you're probably going to lose Ayton. I don't know if you can trade him. If you can trade him, you could probably get decent value out of him. Yeah. But you're also going to have to like pay that person then. Chris Paul, he's 37. Injuries, no injuries, not sure. But I mentioned it on Friday. This man turned 37 and just apparently forgot how to play basketball. A basketball genius just forgot how to play basketball. And I don't understand how that happens. He wasn't shooting the ball. He was single-digit shots these last four games. SP3, single-digit shots. After saying, like, you know, I can shoot the ball. Like, I'm a good shooter. I just don't shoot it. Okay, then shoot it more, Chris Paul. What are we doing? Turning the ball over when he's never been known for turnovers. Like, never. I don't know what this man turned 37 and all of a sudden his basketball brain just shut off. I don't get it. Devin Booker, I mean, he kind of is what he is. This felt like the Suns window because now they're going to have to pay money. And I don't know if this is a franchise that's going to pay money to keep this team together. So this felt like this was their year. This was their shot. And they're out not only in the second round, but embarrassing fashion in the second round. Absolutely embarrassing fashion. I don't know what happens with the Suns. Bless them. We'll see.
My question to you is, do you want to run this team back? Because they feel like a team that needs another scorer. They need, and that's crazy to think, because they were in the top 10 in scoring during the regular season. They got you know, Devin Booker, who everybody was like is a great scorer. Like you said, Chris Paul is 37 years old and he has not looked the same since he turned 37 years old. DeAndre Ayton, I don't know what's going on there. Of course, like you said, they got to pay him. So is this the type of team like Mikal Bridges? He's a great defender, but he just couldn't keep up with Luka. Like, no one on that team could guard Luka. He was just bigger than everyone. He would just back you up, step back, jumper. No one could guard him. It was ridiculous. Like, that's why I think that the Warrior series is going to be a little bit different, because you could throw Draymond Green at him. You could throw Klay Thompson at him, and it's a different type of matchups. But still, I think Luka's going to be Luka, and he's going to do his thing. But the number one person, like I said, we didn't give enough credit to Dinwiddie. We didn't give enough credit to Jalen Brunson. Another person we need to give credit to. I said it about the first round series. I got to say it here. Jason Kidd and his defensive scheme, he basically made the Suns into what they were before Chris Paul got there, where they ran their offense through Devin Booker. And Devin Booker is not the shot maker. He's not a shot creator. He's a good shooter. He's a great shooter at times, but he's not that great of a scorer. He's not the type of guy like a Kobe Bryant, who Kobe Bryant was a phenomenal scorer who could create shots for other people because he would draw the double team. And Chris Paul, he's the type of, you know, dribbler and point guard that he'll draw the double team and then he'll create shots for other people. But they made the Suns play like the Suns pre-Chris Paul. And Jason Kidd, I don't think he's ever going to get enough credit for what he's done in these first two rounds of the 2022 playoffs.
I mean, we were very complimentary of Jason Kidd on Friday. And I said that, you know, him going to the Lakers, spending time as an assistant, he improved his skill set and figured out what he needed to do to become a better coach. And that's a complete credit to him. You know, Luka, you could talk about his defense and everything. Look, he ain't the best defender in the world. He'll probably never be the best defender in the world. They've created a scheme to where they can at least hide him on defense, or he competes enough to where it's not as noticeable, and they can get their defense reset because Luka is not just going to give up on a play. That was very obvious in Phoenix. And this, you know, Monty Williams, coach of the year, is they were hunting Chris Paul. Chris Paul used to be a great defender. At 37, not a very good one-on-one defender anymore. Used to be like all team defense, like every single year. But yeah, 37 with a back quad, allegedly. Just not a good defender. A bad quad.
And I don't understand. Like you said, Monty Williams was coach of the year, and they didn't fix their defensive scheme. They kept switching, and Luka just tore that apart. They kept switching on defenders, and Luka was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing these pick and rolls or dribbling until y'all switch to somebody that I can score on and I can just step back and shoot over. And he was hitting the mid-range, hitting the three, and they just never adjusted. They didn't. I would have at least put like Mikal Bridges, and just, that's your best defender, your best perimeter defender. I would have just put Mikal Bridges on him and just let it be. I wouldn't have kept the switching. The switching, he just tore that apart. Jason Kidd came up with a good scheme where if Luka was a scorer, Dinwiddie did in the first half, and then in the second half, Jalen Brunson just put the ball on the floor and was hitting those little floaters, hitting the mid-range shot, and just tore them apart.
I don't understand why they didn't change the scheme up. I don't understand why guys just didn't fight harder to prevent the switch, whatever it might be. But it didn't work, and that falls on Monty Williams. Patrick Beverley, people were talking about his tweets. He tweeted, like, as the game was going on, y'all say locked in, let's see who pulls the fake hurt move, down and dub. And then, of course, the Chris Paul injury came out. Told y'all Luka. Jeremy Lin tweeted, dang, I really hope CP3 gets a championship before he retires. He deserves one. And then Patrick Beverley said, what do you mean he deserves it? Why does he deserve it more? Look, man, Patrick Beverley, he ain't done shit either. Okay, Patrick Beverley is another dude who is just going to talk shit about these great point guards like Chris Paul, like Russell Westbrook, when he ain't done nothing. All right. Nobody's going to remember Patrick Beverley outside of what he did to Russell Westbrook and collapsing into his knee and this fake toughness that he pulls. Nobody's going to remember Patrick Beverley when it comes to this. You can write the history of the NBA without Patrick Beverley. You can't write the history of the NBA without Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Patrick Beverley can shut the fuck up. Okay?
I absolutely agree with you, because anytime Pat Beverley is brought up, I always bring up the fact that this man celebrated, literally threw a party on social media when the Clippers signed Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. When they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, he was like, oh, we winning the championship. Knocked on LeBron James' door and was trying to talk trash to him like, oh, we're taking over LA. Only one LA team has won a championship since that move. So I just want to point that out.
Patrick Beverley, no different than any of the than Devin Booker, where exactly. At least Devin Booker is like accomplished some stuff in the league. But like Patrick Beverley, no different than just talking shit and acting like he is one of the best players in the world. I think he did call himself like a top five point guard at one point, which is hilarious. But like he hasn't done anything in this league. Circling back to Devin Booker, and another reason why I kind of can't stand this dude is, remember when he dropped like 80 on the Celtics and a loss, and he thought this is like the biggest thing ever. Like, dude, you lost. All right, it's cool you dropped 80. Like, that's a big achievement and stuff. But you don't need to be, like, celebrating this like you just won a championship. Instead, you should have been like, yeah, it's great that I dropped 80. You know, I wish we would have won the game. Like, it's cool personal achievement. I'm trying to win games. Devin Booker is a guy who's just going to celebrate when he's up. Patrick Beverley, the same way. Patrick Beverley, he can have like five steals and a loss. Like, I got five steals, though. You know, I played tough defense. Like, it was great out there. Like, shut up.
And four of them came in garbage time. Like, it's like, yeah, Pat Beverley, nah. His team was talking trash, too, in the first round. And they got what they deserved, too. Memphis Grizzlies put y'all away. Put y'all in the casket, and now y'all in Cancun celebrating. Stay celebrating. Stop tweeting about Chris Paul, because like Jeremy said, like, I can talk all this trash about Chris Paul, but I won't deny that he's a top 10 point guard of all time. I just question the fact if he's top five. And once again, I was proven right. It is Chris Paul. I think more people need to jump on my narrative. I've created some space for everybody on the bandwagon. If you want to get on the bandwagon and choke P3, it's the only P3 that matters is SP3. CP3 means choke P3. And hey, I'm just so happy about that. I think that we've talked enough about Suns and Mavs. We got to shine some light on the Bucks and Celtics, because we were both wrong. We said on Friday that the Bucks were going to win. I did say that I had the Celtics winning game six. But I was like, I think if the Bucks want to win this series, they better get the job done in Milwaukee, because when they get back to Boston, it was going to be an issue. And Grant Williams became Klay Thompson in game six. Like, Grant Williams, man, he hit, seven threes? I was like, who is this guy? I've never heard of this guy.
He's been shooting well from three all season, and that was the big thing from him, is like always really improved his shot and stuff. This game, I think it changed at the end of the first half with the fouls on Marcus Smart. Like, that, the whole final minute kind of changed things. But it really came down to the Celtics hit a lot of threes from guys like Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard and Derek White was hitting a couple of threes. They hit a bunch of threes, and the Bucks got absolutely nothing. Like, Giannis was great in the first quarter. Brooke Lopez showed up in the first half. Jrue Holiday didn't do much in the first half. Jrue kind of came alive a little bit in the second half, but the rest of the Bucks just, they didn't have anything to offer. Missing Chris Middleton was a big thing. It's unfortunate. You play who is in front of you at the end of the day. You play who is in front of you. And the Celtics played a battered Bucks team that didn't have their second best player, and they beat them. Fair credit. And they wore Giannis down. Like, Giannis was great in the first quarter, but he was out of gas by the second quarter, and especially the second, because it was a 5-point game at halftime. Like, they were still there. Giannis just couldn't do anything. And the Celtics were not afraid at all of the Bucks shooters, because they had no reason to be afraid of the Bucks shooters. They had nobody They had nobody on the team who can create a shot outside of Giroux. And Giroux's offense is very roller coastery. And Giannis, he is what he is as an offensive player. He's a force, but you're not afraid of him taking too many mid-range or three-point shots. Like, they need Middleton because he drives a lot of their offense as the shot creator. And they need guys to, like, actually hit shots. And if that's not happening, you can just wall off Giannis and you can make him a little bit more unplayable. And that's what they did. You know, fair credit to the Celtics. It was a good series in that, like, games were actually close. The referees got a little too happy in a lot of games and influenced the games a little too much. It was a very much a rock fight. I think the Celtics and Heat is going to be very similar in that it's going to be a defensive struggle and we're going to see a lot of, like, wild shooting swings, and the referees could get very annoying in the series.
Yeah, even in, like, early on in the third quarter, I was like, man, this is a defensive game because both teams were shooting, like, 40%. And then as soon as I said that, that's when the Celtics started just nailing those threes. And, yeah, I mean, it really showed, like Leland says in the chat, it really showed how vital Middleton is to the Bucks. Like, we said that at the beginning of the series. Like I said, I can't pick the Celtics because I am a Laker fan. I refuse to pick the Celtics. But I said, my head is telling me the Celtics is going to win this because of Middleton not being there, and it came back to haunt them at the worst possible time. And it wasn't even like I'll give Udoka a lot of credit. Like, defensively, he created a scheme that kind of put the onus on Giannis, and then Giannis just in the third quarter, it's like he ran out of gas. Like, he was missing little bunnies at the hoop, he was missing his mid-range shot, and he's, like, one of the more efficient players in the league, and he didn't not show that in the last, like, three games or so. Pretty much, he had a great game six, you know, what was it, like 44 points, 20 rebounds in that game, and in this game he had like 20 25 and 20. He did his thing, but I mean, stat wise but he didn't do his thing as far as, like, the second half. It was just all Celtics all the time, and they dominated them. And Jason Tatum, this is a guy, like we said it in the Nets series, that he was going to have to raise his level up a bit to beat Kevin Durant, and he did that. And now he's raised his level up just a little bit again. 46 points in game six. Yes, he was in foul trouble last night, but he already had an impact on the game even when he got into foul trouble, and he finished the game with 23 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, Grant Williams, just no one expected Grant Williams, a role player, to drop 27, but it is what it is. Jason Tatum proved himself that he is an elite player in this league. He's a top 10 player in this league, and he's been proving it throughout these playoffs. And even though like I said, my heart will never allow me to pick the Celtics, I think they're the favorite against the Heat, actually.
Everybody, Jake says, can actually stop in here before work for once, but just want to say F basketball. It's a very dumb sport now, but at least hockey game sevens were great. All sports are dumb, Jake. As I told you last night, all sports are absolutely stupid. No one should get invested in this stuff. It's just, sports are dumb. But look, you guys got the title last year, Jake. It'll be okay. I do feel bad for Giannis because Giannis is actually, like, a humble superstar. Like, he'll mean mug, and he'll on the court, he'll show his emotions and stuff. But in, like, press conferences and stuff, he's always very humble. He's always trying to, you know, taking the blame first, making it about the team, trying to always improve and everything. So I really like Giannis. It's unfortunate with the Middleton injury. I think they'll come back just as good next year. I expect them to make some changes around, like, the margins. You're not going to do too much when you have Giannis, Middleton, and Drew kind of locked into these contracts. But I just wanted good games, man. And not having, like, that game wasn't good. And then the Maverick Suns really wasn't good. So unfortunate game sevens yesterday, even though it got us a lot of Phoenix Suns slander, which I'm not a, fuck Skip Bayless though. Skip Bayless is he doesn't feel bad for anybody. Apparently Patrick Beverley is on ESPN right now, just calling Chris Paul, like, fraud and all this shit. Like,
I won't say Chris Paul is a fraud. I'll say the Phoenix Suns was a fraud. I didn't believe in the Phoenix Suns. To be fair, I didn't believe in the Boston Celtics. I said they weren't going to get past the second round if they didn't make it that far, but they made it to the conference finals. Much respect to them, but man, the Phoenix Suns, I told y'all, don't believe the hype. They weren't even supposed to make it. They got a red carpet to the NBA finals last season, and that red carpet got cut in half this season when they went against one of the best players in the world, Luka Doncic, man, he's my pick. I'm saying it now. He's my pick to win the 2023 MVP regular season.
Oh, yeah. He's
my pick.
He's 100% going to fake, I was reading Leland's thing, and then the saw CP3 and all, and then JJ's where it said Patrick is a fake, combining a lot of thoughts. He probably would have been in the conversation this year, but he showed up early and just like, yeah, maybe he was out of shape, but he just wasn't playing well early. And then he finally got in shape, and then he started to take over late in the year. And we've seen what he's done in the playoffs. The scary thing about Luka is, like, I think he's going to be even better next year. It feels like he's added to his game in the postseason. This man is absolutely unguardable. I know the Warriors have good defenders. Steve Kerr is a good coach, and he'll come up with different things and stuff. But, like, I think he can torch Draymond isolation. I think even though Klay is still a good defender, I think he can do different things to Klay, whether it be post up and just like his footwork is so excellent. He can shoot the ball from anywhere. Like, he really seems unguardable right now. And I am very interested to watch him work against what could be the last legs of this Warriors dynasty. I don't know what happens. And, you know, Wiggins has earned a reputation as a good defender as well. So, like, the Warriors can throw different guys at him, but I just don't know if anybody is slowing down Luka's. Yeah, Klay used to be, like, one of the top defenders. I do think after these ACL injuries, he's not the defender he used to be. And that, you know, that's going to be an issue. But they have guys who you consider good one-on-one defenders. And I just don't know. I mean, Mikal Bridges was considered a good one-on-one defender, and it didn't matter. Like, Luka's just torching everybody you throw on him. Like, it just feels like he's added to his game in the playoffs, which is kind of insane because, you know, usually this is the time you just go to a lot of your bread and butter, tried and true stuff. And this man just looks unguardable right now. And if you want to call him the best player in the world, I don't blame you. He's the best player left in the playoffs. The MVP is certainly his to lose. I'm excited to see him against this Warriors dynasty. Again, could be the last legs of this Warriors dynasty because they're all a little bit older. Memphis gave them a fight, and we shall see.
I got the Warriors in six.
I said Mavs in seven. I'm sticking with this Luka going to the finals, man.
You're going for it.
Look, this man has completely arrived after this the Sun series. A lot goes on to the Suns for just like not showing up, not having any adjustments, not doing anything. But you also got to give just credit to Dallas and everything Luka was able to do to manipulate how they played, and Jason Kidd's coaching as well. So I'm all in on Luka this season. Sometimes you don't know a player arrives until he actually arrives. I'm not going to be late on this Luka train. All right. This man is here, and this is his league right now. This is certainly his Western Conference. So I'm all in on Luka.
I think he took the next step. It was the whole thing was, oh, he couldn't make it past the first round, and then he's here in the conference finals. So I don't blame you at all. And I might change my pick by the time we get to Friday to Warriors in seven, but I'm still gonna stick with the Warriors. I do agree this is the last legs of this Warriors dynasty, and I think they're gonna go out with a fight. And I think that they have enough defenders to throw at Luka where Luka can't really dominate the game like he did against the Suns in the last the last like five games of that series where he kind of had the, you know, could score at will. You got Draymond Green, one of the best defenders in the league. You got Klay Thompson, you got Andrew Wiggins on the perimeter. I think that's enough to kind of slow everybody down. Or Steve Kerr is going to be smart enough to say, we're going to let Luka beat us, but we ain't going to let Brunson, we ain't going to let Dinwiddie beat us. I think that's the smartest way to go at the Mavs after seeing what they did in game seven over in the East. I don't know if I'm going to say it. I think I might have to say it.
You're going Celtics, aren't you?
I hate the Celtics. I'm sorry, I hate the Celtics. So I'm going for the third straight series. I'm going against the Celtics and watch them make me look dumb for the third straight series. I'm going Heat in seven.
Eastern Conference, I'm going with the Celtics. I think Tatum, and I've pretty much doubted the Heat a lot because Jimmy Butler, as good as he is, I don't see him at that level, and I should, and this is completely 100% my fault, but like, it's just tough for me to see Jimmy Butler. And I was talking to my friend about this. Is like, aesthetically, he's not the most like pleasing player to watch at largely because like he just doesn't have a 3-point shot to his game. Yeah. It's a lot of mid-range stuff. It's a lot of post stuff and you know, screen using screens and everything. Obviously a very great player. I mean, there's no denying that, but you watch him and because he's just not going to like bombard you with threes, he almost just flies under the radar, and that's not fair to him, but I fall into that trap as well. And that's kind of why I'm just leaning towards the Celtics. I'm like, oh, Jason Tatum's just going to get hot and just bombard them with threes, and that's going to be it. Yeah, Heat culture probably is coming after me. Again, completely my fault. I admit it. I recognize the flaw in my own analysis. But I think Boston's just slightly better than Miami.
And yeah, this is once again, I'm saying that my head is telling me Boston in six. That's what my head's telling me. My heart won't allow me to do that because my heart is purple and gold and I can't pick the Celtics for the life of me. But I will go as far to say the most complete player, like we just said, Luka might be the best player left in the playoffs. In my opinion, the most complete player is Jason Tatum. I feel like Jason Tatum is better than Luka on defense. He's a 3-point shooter. He's a great scorer. I think he's the most complete player left in these playoffs. So that, and I feel in the series against the Heat, he's the best player on the court. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. What I usually go with in the playoffs is who has the best player on the court. And we saw that theory come to play in the Phoenix-Dallas series where Phoenix obviously had the better team, but the best player on the court was Luka Doncic, and they won. So I really, like I said, my head is telling me, stop listening to your heart. Your heart is not here for logical situations and logical predictions. Go with Boston in six. But my heart is saying Heat in seven. They've been the best team in the East for the whole year. You know, Boston has been the best team since the All-Star break in basketball, in my opinion. Just a complete turnaround from where they were in the first half of the season. But I'm going to go with the Heat. One of my friends is a Heat fan, Drunk Guy JJ over on True Hill Heat. I'm going to believe in his Heat. I'm going to believe in Miami. And I want my dear friend Stephen A. Smith to have a great NBA Finals where he can go from San Francisco to Miami. So I'm going with the Heat in seven.
I mean, I can't argue it with Heat in seven. I'm going Boston in seven, though. I like Jason Tatum a little bit too much. And the thing is, I like Jason Tatum a lot. And when you said most complete player, I still think Jimmy Butler is like more of a complete player than Jason Tatum. And I underrate Jimmy Butler. So
you just say he's not a good 3-point shooter. I would say
he's Tatum's not
better than him at the three. There's all every one of the players that we could say is the best complete player. They have a flaw. Like Luka, he's played better defense in the Phoenix series, but he's not the defender that you want to believe in. Same thing with like Steph Curry. He's not the guy that you want to like believe in to go and defend the best player on the other team. And Jimmy Butler, he can defend the best player on the other team. He can be the best scorer and the best, you know, offensive player. But he's not a real great 3-point shooter. I feel like Jason Tatum checks all those boxes, and that's why I say he's the best complete player in but left in the playoffs.
That's fair. I think Butler's a better distributor than Tatum. That's my biggest knock on Tatum is his playmaking. And I do think on the whole, Butler's a better defender than Tatum, even though Tatum is a very good defender. But the 3-point shooting is a big difference between those two. I'm going Boston. I'm going Boston in seven, and I'm going Mavs in six. Very bold Mavs in six prediction. I'm not doubting this Luka guy. Have you heard of him? Perhaps you've heard of the number three pick, Luka Doncic. You know who else was a great number three pick? Michael Jordan. All right. I ain't doubting
Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Go to full government.
I'm not doubting Luka Doncic. Okay. I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it at this point. This kid is absolutely special. We're getting Mavs and Boston in the finals. That's what we're going with. The history of Boston and the further arrival of Luka.
So we got completely different picks for the NBA finals. So yep. I think that will lead to, you know, the viewers, everyone watching, the subscribers of FIFA Overbooked, let us know in the comments what should be our bet for who gets the NBA finals right. Since we completed one bet,
it could go half and half though. Then what happens?
But then nobody wins. See, no. Then nobody wins. That's the perfect solution. Nobody wins because Jeremy, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed, we got a lot of viewers here on a Monday morning. If you enjoyed this type of banter, come back on Friday because Jeremy has the honor and the privilege to do a PowerPoint presentation, not one, but two PowerPoint presentations on why the Los Angeles Lakers are great and why we will be NBA champions again in the future, and two, why Nikolai Jokic is not the real MVP. Joel Embiid is the real MVP of this past regular season. Two for the price of one this Friday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, FMC. Oh, man, it's going to be a great day.
Just wait until – I've not put this – so full spoilers. I've not put this PowerPoint presentation together yet. I already have the rough draft in my head. I'm already just very proud of this presentation that I have in my head. And as long as it comes together how I think it will, I'm very proud of what everybody's going to see on Friday. All right. I have a great presentation, tremendous presentation for everybody. Quite possibly the best presentation I could ever do. So yes, that'll be Friday. I'll do my PowerPoint presentations on why Embiid's the MVP and why the Lakers are going to win the next 10 titles, whatever I'm supposed to do with that. Okay, get ready.
It's like my birthday week. Oh my god, it is my birthday week. Oh my god, we got Monday where I'm celebrating choke P3, the Suns losing in the second round, and Friday, you got Wednesday is my actual birthday. Tomorrow I get to see Alex. I'm gonna see Alex Jeremy. So
are you gonna punch him? You're gonna punch him in the face?
I might be this happy that I might feel brave enough to punch Alex McCarthy for you. Then Wednesday is my birthday, and then Friday we get the greatest episode of FMC of all time as Jeremy does two PowerPoint presentations. It's a glorious day. Glorious.
What are you actually doing on Wednesday? Are you free at noon to do? I'm just gonna invite you here on the show. Are you free at noon to do Pillar to Post?
Oh sure. Yeah, we could. Yeah, I'll do Pillar to Post. I could do that. I think I only have the Wrestle Talk podcast at 2, so that's fine. I could do
Pillar to Post. Yeah, well, Pillar to Post only lasts an hour, so cool.
Yeah.
All right, SP3 is on Pillar to Post, everybody, on Wednesday. Celebrating his birthday. Celebrating his birthday. Gee, wonder who's going to win on that one. I'm gonna boot you early. No birthday celebrations here. I gotta figure out the rest of the lineup. Hopefully Will can do it. All right. Anything else basketball-wise? I'm going to talk a little bit of hockey. I don't know if Caden is around, but I want to mention this when it comes to hockey. So the Toronto Maple Leafs lost. They were up 3-2 in the series. They lost the defending cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning. Lost game 6 in overtime, and then they lost game 7. Auston Matthews, who is the best goal scorer in the league, he's going to win MVP this year. I don't think there's too much of a doubt about that. He's going to win MVP. Here's the difference between NBA and NHL. One, the NHL playoffs have actually been good. The NBA playoffs have been trash. Two, when the NBA, Kevin Durant has said this, like, NBA fans just like to hate. Like, they just like to hate on everything. And it's funny, but it's also like kind of confusing of just how much like hate there is. Like, can we just not like appreciate how good the guys are? I can understand if you want to be like petty and like talk shit and stuff. But even you admit, like, all right, I'll talk shit to Chris Paul. He's still one of the best point guards of all time. He's still great. Like, but when it comes to MVP, it's like, oh, Jokic sucks. Why, he didn't deserve it. He's not actually all that good and stuff. Out in the first round, look at this loser. Should have gone to Embiid and all this stuff. Auston Matthews lost in the first round, okay? He lost in the first round, and nobody's going to say, I've not seen one single person say, like, oh, you're going to give the MVP to this guy who can't get his team out of the first round for, like, the fifth straight season? They haven't won a playoff series since, like, 2004. And you're going to give the MVP to this guy? It's very sad. Very sad that NBA fans are just a bunch of haters. NHL fans, please like my sport, everybody.
Wait till I'm a hockey fan. That's going to be me.
You're in the UK. You're in the UK. You can't watch any of these games. Pittsburgh and New York going to overtime last night was great theater. We had SP3, Dallas, and Calgary. They got 67 shots on goal. You know how insane that is? 67 shots on goal through just under 4 periods. Absolutely insane. The Dallas goaltender, Jake Ottinger, was out of his mind. 67 shots on goal, and Calgary ended up winning it in overtime. Hockey is great sport. I encourage everybody to watch it. I did see a lot of NBA fans last night actually tune into hockey because the game 7 with basketball was a complete blowout. And they're on the same networks now. Like, hockey's on ESPN, TNT, yeah, and TBS, all the same channels that basketball's on. So the NHL playoffs, it seems like ratings are up. It seems like people are kind of catching on that hockey is actually very fun in the regular or in the playoffs. So hopefully it leads to more fans. SP3, once you get back to America, we'll get you on the hockey train here because it is it's a good sport. It's a very fun sport.
My namesake, Sidney Crosby, I heard he wasn't playing. So I was like, I don't care.
He was out for game 6. He did play in game 7 last night. They lost game 7 in overtime, but it was a very good team or very good game. So I look forward to the second round where my Avs will lose in game 7. Official prediction for me, Avs lose game 7, double or nothing Sunday next week. I'm not doing the post show because Sean's not actually going to he's not actually going to Vegas, as far as I know, unless something happens and he ends up going to Vegas. If I was doing the post show, you would just see me crying and it would be very sad. But yeah, Money Mark says Hurricanes Bruins game 7 energy was insane. All the game 7s were good. It was great. It was great that the hockey game 7s delivered, unlike the basketball game 7s. Which are trash as fuck.
Okay. And we got another hook for Friday. You can hear Caden with his feedback of these game 7s and the NHL playoffs. And we got officially the penalty box graphic. We're going to debut that on Friday as well. Dude. Look at that. Look at that. Look at all the hooks for Friday. Oh my God. You guys got to join us. FMC. It's still going to be Friday morning choke because I'm still going to be celebrating Chris Paul, the choke artist.
I believe the NBA second round starts Wednesday. Is that right? Have they released the schedule?
The conference finals starts Tuesday. Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What game's Tuesday? Golden State and Dallas?
I believe so. Either that or I think it's Miami and Boston on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Well, it's
one or the other, SV3.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only two series left. Yeah. Look at that. It makes it easier for us.
It's Boston, Miami. It starts Tuesday. Wow, I didn't think it would start until Wednesday. A hockey play. There's no playoffs tonight, SB3. People are going to have to watch other stuff on Monday.
Oh, my God. You're going to have to watch Monday Night Raw with me. It's been good. It was good last week.
What? No, you're muted because you're talking about that sport that we don't talk about here on this show. Absolutely not. Not watching that. And keep watching Are You the One? That's what we've been watching.
You know what I've been hating? The Circle season 4, man. They've been doing staggered episodes.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's new. The whole new season, season 4. It started 2 weeks ago, but they put out like the first 4 episodes on May 4th. The next batch of episodes was May 11th, and now the final batch of episodes is on my birthday, so I have that to look forward to.
They did staggered episodes last season.
They did staggered episodes.
They may have done it. They may have been doing it the entire run of the series. Netflix has just done staggered episodes when it comes to a lot of these reality shows nowadays. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, me too. I was like, I want to watch this whole... And this season, oh man, Jeremy, all I will tell you is that the Spice Girls are on this season of The Circle. Yes, the Spice Girls. This was some of the best television in The Circle's history. That's what I will tell you.
Oh, I think, I 100% think I can talk the EP into watching this season.
Yes,
of The Circle. Yeah, I think I can talk her into watching it now, because we, after Are You the One, we're gonna need something new. So I definitely think I could talk her into it if the Spice Girls are part of it. Money Mark says, have I watched The Ultimate? Yes, I we've spoken about it on past episodes of FMC. I'm trying to convince SB3 to watch it at some point, because I told him, and Money Mark, assuming you've watched it, you will know the scene that I'm talking about. At the dinner table where they're making their choices, and just the complete shit show that whole thing turns into. I've called it the greatest like reality television scene of all time. It's certainly one of them in my mind. It's so, so fucking good. So once SB3 actually watches it, we'll talk about The Ultimatum at some point. I've watched part of the second episode of the challenge. I just watched the daily challenge. That's all I've watched. I haven't gotten past that. So that's where I'm at. At some point, I will probably today, I'll finish that off. And
with we'll one talk of the challenge greatest blunders of all time. So we'll talk about Tina with that blunder on the swing challenge.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was, I love TJ just burying her for that too.
We're gonna talk
horrible
episode 2 and episode. We'll talk episode 2, episode 3 of the challenge on Friday. So you have that to look forward to. You have the penalty box, Jeremy. We're kicking off the show hot with Jeremy's PowerPoint presentations on the Los Angeles Lakers and Joel Embiid. It's gonna be a beautiful day on Friday. My birthday week. Oh man, it's the greatest week ever.
It's. Can we just dub this week like SB3 week here on Overbooked? You're already on this show. Wednesday, you're going to be on Pillar to Post. Friday, we have another FMC.
The return of Degrassi Dudes on Friday.
So Degrassi Dudes, I believe there's going to be a True Heel rewind at some point being uploaded. Yes. So it's SB3 week here on Overbooked. He's always done more shows on this channel than I have, but now he's at like 5 shows, literally a new SB3 video every single week or every single day on the channel this week. So there we go, everybody. SB3 is it's his week here on Overbooked.
Yes.
He's going to punch Alex McCarthy in the face. That's another thing. We'll upload that when that happens. He's going to punch Alex McCarthy in the face. It's going to be great.
Oh, what a beautiful week it has been. This has been the best start to my birthday week ever. Oh man, I'm going to go on this high. I'm going to share this video with all my sports fans, friends. Great. great stuff. Great stuff here. I got to thank Jeremy. This was the best idea he's ever came up with. A special MMC Monday morning choke talking about Chris Paul. The best P3 in the business is SP3. CP3 is officially choke P3.
You're done.
I'm done now. I'm done.
Do you want to plug? Do you want to plug anything?
True Hill SP3 on the Twitter machine. I'll be back on YouTube around 2:15 p.m. Eastern time, 7:15 p.m. UK. If anybody here is from the UK, Believe in Pro Wrestling podcast with Rick Uccino, which I'll probably throw in some Chris Paul slander there as well.
I can't hate on it, honestly. I can't. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us on the special edition of FMC on a Monday morning choke. Here we got more stuff on Overbooked. I'm working on a video where, as a teaser for everybody, so I tweeted last Friday that No Mercy is the worst wrestling game of all time, and people thought I was, you know, trolling, which I never do. People thought I was, you know, being sarcastic, which I'm not sarcastic at all, despite what my Twitter bio says. I don't do any of that. So I'm actually putting together a video of why it is the worst wrestling game of all time. Why my tweet inspired that it was the worst wrestling video game of all time. All right. I'm hoping to upload that at some point this week. We have Pillar to Post on Wednesday. We have FMC back in his normal time on Friday, and a bunch of other stuff, I'm sure, going up on the channel that I probably don't know about. Guys, we appreciate everybody. Love everybody. Take care, everybody. Enjoy your Monday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.